Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-taqiya amma ba'd. One of the interesting realities of life is that when a person is young, they have so much energy and excitement that they wish to figure out life all on their own. Let me figure it out, mom and dad. Let me figure it out. Don't tell me what to do. I'll figure out life myself. I want to experience the world. I want to go through the different ideas that are out there. I want to experience the different things that college and university has to offer. Maybe try a few different things to smoke and a few different things to drink. Hang out with a few different people. See what a relationship actually feels like. A lot of things people want to figure out. Let me just experience these things. But the sad reality is that in almost all of these cases, in the long run, 10 years later, 20 years later, that same person says, man, I wasted so much time trying things that people told me I shouldn't have been wasting my time on. And then some people, unfortunately, because they don't have proper mentors or guides around them, their regret is, I wish someone had told me. I wish someone was there to guide me. Because there is a way to do something and then there is an efficient way to do something. There's a way to do something and then there's the productive way, the proper way of doing something. Someone can memorize the Quran and in an inefficient way and it could take maybe 15, 20 years. Another person can follow an efficient process and they can actually memorize the Quran easily within 2 years because the process is right. Someone who's done it again and again, time and again, is telling you, this is actually how it's done. This is how you tie your shoelaces. This is how you iron your garments. This is how you wash a dish. This is how you study. The effective way of doing it. Now, the thing about, you know, tying your shoe is that if you get it wrong the first time, you can always do it again. The thing about cooking biryani is that if you do it the inefficient way the first time, the next day around, you can do it the efficient way. You can figure it out. Go on YouTube, watch a tutorial, follow the 8 steps, and your biryani is in front of you. But unfortunately, if you decide to trial and error and goof around with life, by the time you realize that you've messed up and you've been inefficient, you could be very far into it. And the time you've wasted could end up unfortunately costing you a lot of opportunity. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave the opportunity for every person to claim on the Day of Judgment that, Ya Allah, I wasted my life because no one told me, by telling us in the Quran the parable and the example of the cycle of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walks us through life before it even happens. He Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 20, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides life into 3 major segments. And each of these segments have two components. So the first part of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it la'ibun wa lahwun. This could be titled as just playtime. So much of the first part of every individual's life, no matter if you're an auntie or an uncle, a grandfather or a grandmother, if you trace your life back to the beginning of it, you will remember that you spent the first part of your life goofing around, playing around. But then within this segment, there are two sections, there are two areas. The first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines as la'ibun, and the second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines it as lahwun. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, la'ibun is that play min ghayri fa'ida, which has no benefit, no purpose behind it at all. So if you were to look at a person, a child, who's 3 years old, 4 years old, and you look at their play and you ask yourself, what value do you get out of this play? What do you get out of, you know, with this jack-in-the-box that you crank it down, you close the lid, you press a button, it pops up, and you do it again 5 times straight. What benefit do you get out of it? What do you accomplish from this? That child will say, nothing. I'm just enjoying myself. Leave me alone. And that child at that point in his life, while he's playing with his jack-in-the-box, he believes that he's figured out life. He thinks that he has found the most optimal way to live life. It's called life with jack-in-the-box. Not the takeaway, not the fast food joint. I'm talking about the toy. He looks at his brother and thinks to himself, poor guy, he runs around on the court all day, running around, trying to have fun. Look at me, I'm having fun with the jack-in-the-box sitting in an air-conditioned room. Looks at his mom and says, poor lady, sits in the kitchen all day cooking. Her life is miserable. Looks at his dad, he's always angry watching the news and giving his opinion about things that absolutely his opinion doesn't matter at all in. And he's like, what a miserable poor guy. He looks at his sister, she's standing in front of the mirror all day putting makeup on. What a miserable poor lady. He looks at everyone in the world and says, everyone's miserable. But then he looks at himself and what does he say? I figured it out. But then in life you always transition. And as you advance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you enter into part two of phase one, which is lahwun. Lahwun is a play that has a purpose to it. It has a fa'idha to it. Now this same child, now he's 13 years old and he's playing basketball 5 hours straight, 10 hours straight. And his dad asks him, what were you doing for the last 10 hours? He says, I was playing basketball. Why? He says, well, I want to be the best player on the court. Now there's purpose to it. You know, I want to gain fame. There's purpose to it. I want to have the best three-pointer. There's purpose. One day I want to play for the NBA. There's purpose to it. This kid comes home after playing basketball for 4 hours. His dad says to him, hey man, why don't you go and play with your brother? And he looks at his brother and his brother's playing with the old jack-in-the-box. And he says to his dad, dad, why should I waste my time with that kid over there? When this kid fails to realize, whose toy is that? If you're from a Desi family, you don't get new toys. You get hand-me-downs. That toy was his toy. And just a few years back, he was sitting there playing with that toy, thinking in his mind that he had figured out life. But now when he advances forward, Mufti Shafi Uthmani, while commentating on this verse, he says, as you advance forward in life, whenever you look back, you have regret. Because you realize you wasted yourself. This kid has been playing basketball for 4 hours. When he looks at the younger one playing with the jack-in-the-box, he thinks to himself, what a waste. That kid is seriously wasting his time. He should be practicing his dribble right now. He should not be playing with the jack-in-the-box. And everyone else in the world that he looks at, they're all wasting their time too. And then what happens is from play, you naturally, hopefully, inshallah, you graduate to the next phase of life. And many of us, we unfortunately don't graduate to the next phase of life. We continue playing video games into our 30s and 40s. And there are women in the community that are complaining that the fathers of our children act like they're 13 years old. They're still playing Far Cry. They're still playing Assassin's Creed. They're still playing, you know, GTA. They're still playing video games. These guys have not grown up. But hopefully at some point in your life, you progress and you move forward and you enter into the second phase of life. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as zinatun wa tafakhurun bainakum. You go from playing to now being aware of your deficiencies. You start learning of your flaws. And as you start becoming aware of your flaws, your hairline, you start noticing the flaw in your height, you start noticing the flaw in your waistline, you start noticing the flaw in the structure of your eyes. And as you start noticing these flaws, you start patching, zinatun. You start beautifying yourself. Trying to make yourself look perfect in front of the eyes of the people. Because now shaitan has entered into your heart. He has control over your nafs. And all he wants you to do is make sure you feel good in the eyes of other people. And this is where the next phase of life starts. Now all of a sudden you're much more conscious about what kind of hairstyle you have, what kind of garments you wear, you know, making sure that your watch matches, you know, whatever other accessories that you have going on that day. Your socks, you know, are in line with the theme of your garment for that particular day. So you're becoming very particular with your appearance. And so much of your life is spent there. So much of your life. How many people spend thousands of dollars every year on garments that they hardly wear? You know, we went shopping once. I went shopping with one of my friends and they said to me, Mufti Kamani, you know, you go to public gatherings, you need to have better garments and better clothes. And I said, I'm faqir miskin admi. Honestly, I don't understand much about garments, even though I sell thobes myself. But other than thobes, I don't know much about clothes. So I said to them that if you want me to have better clothes, why don't you guys take me? And every store we went to that day, we went to maybe 5 stores that day, I said, this is too tight, I'm not wearing this. We went to another store, I said, guys, this is too tight, I'm not wearing this. And at the end of it, what I realized was, what I considered to be modest was viewed as badly out of style and was viewed as this weird garments and weird clothing. And it was something that was so hard to find that day, a pair of pants that I felt was, you know, appropriate for my own honor and dignity for me to wear publicly in front of people. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This is where the ummah is today. This is where we are today. The obsession, how much time we spend in stores and shopping and wasting our money when that money could be used for so many things. See, you have to keep in mind, this example that Allah is giving us, it focuses on the obsession that the individual has on with where they are in life. You go to a kid who's 15 years old and who's just crazy and loves and is in love with his appearance, you ask him that, you know, this obsession that you have of spending money and buying yourself expensive things, do you know what harm this causes your mom? Don't you know that your mom needs medication that she isn't taking because she can't afford it? Don't you know your dad is wearing the same old shoes for the past 10 years? Why don't you go and help him? Your sister's paying off her college fees. Why don't you go and help her? There are uncles and aunts of yours that live underneath the poverty line across the world. Why don't you go and help them? And this person is so obsessed with himself. He's so obsessed with doing what he wants to do, what she wants to do, that everyone else, and mind my language, I apologize, can go rot in hell. Everyone else can go rot if they want to. I don't care about them. You know, the mother that gave birth to this child, the mother that hugged this child, the mother that carried this child across the world, who cried and made dua for this child, who sat by his side when he had a fever, today he doesn't care if that mother cries or not. You can do whatever you want to. I have my freedom. I'll do what I want. You can go. And again, I apologize for saying this in a masjid. You can go rot in hell if you want to. It's none of my business. I have my freedoms and I'm going to be with myself. And this is what shaitan does to the human beings. This has nothing to do with religion, by the way. This is just muruwa, akhlaq, good humanity. There is no place in the world. And don't blame Islam for your problems. That, oh, Islam is restrictive. That's why, you know, this is my issue. Honestly, go to any corner of the world, go to any sane, you know, logical, respectable, mature human being and tell them, what is your thought regarding a person who does not care about the feelings of his family members because of his obsession with himself or because of her obsession with herself? Any sane human being, I don't care what religion they follow, I don't care if they follow a religion or not, they will tell you that person has a very serious problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this is one of the phases of life. You enter into the phase of beauty and all becomes about you. But then once you beautify yourself, it's not enough. You enter into the second part of that phase, tafakhurun baynakum, where you start competing with one another. It's not just about wearing something nice. You have a nice haircut, nice glasses, you know, some nice navigators, a nice watch on, you know, your shirt is slick, it's iron, pants are slick and iron, socks are on point, your undergarments are matching your socks, like the whole thing, the whole shebang is perfect. And you stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and say, مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is no human being I'm looking at. This is an angel. And you go into the car that you have, and it's a very beautiful Toyota Corolla sport model, whatever that means. It exists actually, I'm not joking, it's a real thing. And you drive out in this car, it's perfect. It's a really good car, by the way. Not that I would know, but it's a really good car, by the way. I mean, Corollas are always good cars. Let's get back to the subject. You pull up on the street and you pull up at a traffic light and you're waiting there and the guy next to you, he pulls up next to you and he kind of revs his engine. And you're like, that's a sign of he wants to, like, you know, race you a little. And you kind of rev your engine and he goes like, bump. because that car is not going anywhere. And you start racing after the traffic light turns green, even though you shouldn't be doing that, it's against the law, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, if someone were to do that, and the Subaru has gone way far out, and this guy's still crossing the line at this point. And then he realizes the next goal in his life is to get a Subaru. The next goal in his life is to get a Tesla. This is where people waste their life. Tafakhurun bainakum. It's all a competition. And unfortunately, you'll find people in their 60s and 70s that are still living in this phase. It's all about competition. That person's daughter got married in so-and-so hall. I'll show them how my son gets married. That person went to so-and-so place for a vacation. I'll show them what I can do. They gave $50,000 mahar. We'll give $100,000 mahar. Nobody gives $100,000 mahar. They just say it. It sounds really nice. But akhirnya maafi karwate. Then at the end of it, they make sure the girl forgives them. You know, make sure you forgive us, but we can't afford to pay you that much. It's all, unfortunately, a big sham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then what happens is people, they transition into the third phase of life. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Where now you're just living in the world and increasing your family, increasing your wealth with the purpose of just increasing your wealth and nothing else. There's no goal behind it. You don't know what you're going to do with all of this wealth. You're just gathering it and gathering it and gathering it. You go to the millionaires and billionaires of the world and you ask them, what are you going to do with all of this wealth? Like, what are you going to do with it? I don't know, I'm just collecting it. It feels good. I'm going to buy more things. How many times are you going to buy a new car? How many times are you going to buy a new house? How many more new watches are you actually going to buy? Like, isn't there a point where you say, okay, I have enough watches, but the greed just consumes that person. And as this person progresses in life, every time you look backwards, you realize that you spent so many years of your life being numb, not being smart, not listening to people. And you've wasted so much of your life. And the truth is, this analogy completes that one day this man, who is now an old man, started off playing with a jack-in-the-box. Now he's an old man sitting one day having coffee with his son, and the coffee falls from his hand, he falls to his side, and all he can hear is his heart is thumping, and he can see his son calling 911, an ambulance comes to the front door, they bring a stretcher, load him on, they take him to the hospital, and right when they're taking him in for his surgery, he holds his son's hand and says, my dear son, every time in my life as I progress forward, I had regret over the past, and today as I progress from this dunya to the akhirah, I regret my entire life. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُونَ وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. You can choose to go through the cycle if you want, but this is where it all ends. It ends in regret and remorse. كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما. Like a person who sees a rain coming, the rain pours down, some crops grow, and then what happens? It dries, and when it dries, it turns yellow, and when it turns yellow, after a little while, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا whatever remains of that fruit or that plant turns into debris, the wind blows it and it's gone away. Everything that you thought was meaningful, at the end of it, you realize it actually has no weight. It can't even hold its own ground. People who call you towards evil today, they may say they're your best friends, but on the Day of Judgment, they won't stand by your side. They won't be able to. Allah won't allow them to. They won't desire to. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ And for this person, because they wasted their life, they may be subject to the punishment of Allah in the hereafter. And not just any punishment, عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ A very severe punishment. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy is also there. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ And this worldly life, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا And this worldly life, إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ Is not but it's just possessions that deceive a person. This worldly life is very deceiving. So when someone tells you that this isn't good for you, as much as your ego may want to say, it is good for me, just really think it through and ask yourself, is it possible this person's right and I'm wrong? Is it possible that the 20 people around me, the whole community around me, the world around me that is telling me that, you know, this thing, murdering someone is a bad thing, is it possible that it's actually a bad thing? Or do we have to be so obsessed with ourselves that I'm only going to accept it to be bad once I've experienced it and I'm in prison, then I'll say it's a bad thing. And unfortunately, this is where the ego of the insan is. I close with the 21st verse of Surah Al-Hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers an alternative. He says, this is what people do, here's the alternative. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ Why don't you race towards the forgiveness of your Lord? وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعْرَضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Race towards Jannah. gardens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the width of which is equivalent to the skies and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. These gardens have been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the favor of Allah, He gives to who He wills. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses the great favor and the great bounty. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from people who aren't obsessed with ourselves, who don't feel the pain of those that love us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from ever becoming absolutely numb. Because that lifestyle will only lead you to being lonely and isolated. The people that are around you, who are there to advise you, who care for you. That brother in the masjid who says to you, come to the masjid. That brother who's telling you, send your children for a good cause or motivate them to do good. People who are trying to be a good influence on you, don't shut them out. Because what if those people actually leave you? Who will then actually come and care for you? Who will support you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with friends and people around you who love you, so appreciate them. That person may come in the form of your own grandfather, it may be your own father, it may be your brother, it may be your son, it may be your grandson, who brings you to the masjid and says, Baba, let's go to the masjid. You know, Dada, let's go to the masjid. Don't shun them. Don't close them out. Because these people, they care for you. All they want you to do is be in Jannah. And you can't blame them for loving you that much. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us, preserves us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala.